Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. Oh, you are so good. Thank you, Lord. We bless this morning. We thank you, Father, that you, as I'm speaking this morning, Father, and you're prompting and bringing to my remembrance things that I've seen and heard, things that I have been taught, Father. Lord, I thank you that I ask that you expound and just make that grow on the inside of us, Father. That, Lord, that as we move out from this place today, Lord, that will become bigger and bigger and bigger, the image of it, the picture of it, bigger and bigger in our lives, Father, and we benefit by it in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you all have a good week? I hope so. And if you didn't, that's all right. You've got another week coming up that hopefully that'll be better anyway. I wanted to talk about something that that I looked at many years ago, 7 or so years ago, and Susie, actually, it was a few weeks ago when you were doing, I think, offering or communion, and you said something about the imagination. It just sparked something in me, and so I revisited this topic about imagination, and I restudied it again, and you know, it's such a wonderful thing. Who's ever seen that? That movie Hidden Figures, based on a true story. I really enjoyed it. But there was this line right at the end of the movie. It's based on it's about these three African American women, and they at their time during a period in the United States where there was still segregation, but they worked for NASA, brilliant minds, mathematicians, engineers, etc. And one of them was very heavily involved in calculating the space trajectory, etc., for astronaut John Glenn for the very first human orbit around the Earth. They'd never done it before, but I just love this line right at the end where the boss of this particular task force where this woman, Catherine, worked, and he said to her after they had successfully gotten this man home, and he said to her, "Do you think we can get to the moon?" Does anyone remember that? And I just loved, I loved what she said. She just looked at him and she said, "Sir, we already there. We already there." And I that just jumped out at me. And I just loved that because, no one has ever set out on an endeavor to do something, to build something, to enter into business, to climbing Mount Everest. I tell you what, there's not a man or a woman that's ever climbed Mount Everest that didn't first imagine doing it. And if you didn't imagine doing it, don't set out to do it because you won't get there. But they would have imagined it and they would have thought about it and they would have imagined it. They would have dreamt it, slept it, talked about it continually before their mind. They were imagining climbing Mount Everest. And I wanted to give you these quotes, which I just really liked. Albert Einstein, he said this. He said, "Your imagination is your preview for life's coming attraction." I thought that was really cool. I like that. Albert Einstein, he also said, "Logic will get you from A to B, but our imagination will get us everywhere, will take us everywhere." And then English poet William Blake, he said, "What is now proved was once first imagined." How true, how true. And someone else once said, "Worry is a misuse of our imagination," because that's what worry is. We start to do what? Imagine things not working out. Imagine worst case scenarios. Imagine something going wrong. Can you turn with me to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4? And it says this, we know this, we could quote this off by heart. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but what? Mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Most of the battles that people, you and I, fight, most of those battles are up here. They're up here daily. Now, thinking about this passage again when going back over this subject, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. So these mighty weapons, why are they mighty? Why do we need a mighty weapon to cast down imagination? Because we are created in the image of God. We're just like him. And this is how he operates. This is a God-given gift to humanity. We are the only creation on this planet that has and operates in this area. Now, the New Ages have grabbed it and run with it, but they've kind of missed God. No, they have. They're way out on left field. But it doesn't mean we throw everything out. The imagination is created by God, and we need powerful, it says mighty through God, mighty weapons, because imaginations are mighty. Now, I was thinking as we were during praise and worship, you know, in the Old Testament where the Lord said we are to keep, the children of Israel, keep the word, what did it say, before their eyes, the frontlets, keep it before their eyes. But it wasn't, you know, we think in pictures. So the word that they were keeping before their eyes, it wasn't that they were looking at B-Y-H-I-S, S-T-R-I-P-E-S. That's not what they were seeing. When he said, keep the word continually before your eyes, it was the picture, the imagination of God's word. When God said, when it says in the scripture that God decrees or declares the end from what? From the beginning. Well, how does he do that? How does he decree the end of something from before the end is even there, from the very beginning? He sees it. He pictures it. He imagines it. He sees this end result and this end outcome. So when we keep the word before our eyes, by his stripes I am healed, I see myself healed. You see yourself healed. It's not by his stripes I'm healed and seeing myself sick. We have to see that. When he says, speak to the mountain, be thou cast up, removed, cast into the sea. Are we seeing, what picture are we seeing? We're seeing it being picked up and being cast out into the sea. I'll get you to turn to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. How on earth, how do we look at something that's not seen? We do it with our imagination, don't we? We look at things not seen with our imagination. Our imagination, when it is linked to God's word, when it is yielded and submitted to God's word, has the ability to bring to pass those things. Our faith works by that, to bring to pass those things that we see and picture on the inside. Because nothing, if we can't see it on the inside, if we can't picture it on the inside, we won't see it with our physical eyes on the outside. We first have to see it on the inside before we see the manifestation of it on the outside. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, the things which are seen are temporal, but the things not seen are eternal. We have the same power to think, to speak, to imagine, just like God does. That's a creative power. That's how God created. He saw it, he thinks, he spoke it, and it comes to pass. Now, as I was thinking about all of this, you know, every day, we wouldn't be alive, we wouldn't be breathing if we didn't use our imagination. A lot of times we don't even realize that we are continually pictures running through our minds, continually. And oftentimes we don't even, you know, have you ever caught yourself thinking about or seeing a picture in your mind or, you know, meditating on something, imagining something, you've caught yourself doing it and you didn't realize you were doing it? We do it all the time. Joel and I, we're building a house at the moment. And you know, I didn't really pay any attention to this until just again looking at all of this. As I said, we operate in it all the time. For years and years and years before we began to build, we're building right now, we've got the roof on, we've got the walls in, and the plasterer's in there doing his plastering. Joel and I would go looking when we first got married and in those first few years, and I had a desire that I wanted a new house. It was just the desire. I didn't know how we were going to get it. I didn't know, you know, how that was going to come to pass. I didn't know the when or the where. But we would go out looking a lot of weekends, and it's one of my favorite things to do. You know, go and look at display homes and go and look at, and Joel, I think he was over it. I was dragging him through display homes. But, you know, when I look back now on it, what was I doing? I was creating that image in me. And I would look at what I liked, what I didn't like. And when we recently, earlier this year, signed a contract with the builder, began working on the plans, do you know, I'm picturing that, just like you, picturing that if you've ever built a home. And I'm imagining where the walls are. I'm imagining where the hall is. I'm imagining where the rooms are. I'm walking through that house that is yet not. I'm walking through it before I'm walking through it. I'm seeing it on the inside. And that is the way faith works, because it builds and it builds and it builds to the point where you see yourself doing something, you see yourself saying something, you see yourself creating something before, long before it ever manifests. How many, no show of hands, but every one of you has experienced this, and sometimes we don't connect it with the imagination that we had years before, that we've been thinking on and thinking on and thinking on. Let's go to Ephesians 1:17. How many of you ladies use your imagination when you're doing your shopping lists? Have you ever, ladies, if you do the shopping, or men if you do the shopping, but ladies, this is what I do. If I'm up at the shops and I haven't physically written down a shopping list, I imagine my pantry, and I'm standing there in front of my pantry and I'm seeing what's missing. What do I need? Or I'm in my bathroom. I imagine myself in my bathroom getting ready. What are the things that I touch? What are the things that I need? I'm running low on shampoo. Or some ladies do this, or some of you do this. I do this as well. If you're at home and you're preparing your shopping list, you're imagining yourself walking down the shopping aisle. You go down the grocery aisles. You see what's there, the fruit and veg. You go down this aisle, you see what's there. Guys, taking a trip to Bunnings, you can ask Joel this. He's imagining what he wants. He's seeing himself going down those aisles, what he needs to go and grab beforehand. And, you know, you don't go anywhere. You do not go anywhere. If I say to Joel, I'm going to the shops, I'm going to do some grocery shopping, I do not imagine myself, I do not see myself going to the doctor's. If I say to Joel, I'm going grocery shopping, what do I see? I see myself going grocery shopping without even a thought of it. Test it out. That's what you do. I'm going to go and make a cup of tea. I see myself, that image of me going and making a cup of tea. That's what we do. That's how we've been created. So where did I say to go? Ephesians 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your, what, understanding. Now, just hang on to that word. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his power. Now that verse 18, the eyes of your understanding, that is a word, Greek word, dianoia, and it means deep thought and imagination. The eyes of your heart, some translations will say. But it's talking about what we see on the inside. The eyes of your deep thought, the imagination, being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his, of the inheritance in the saints. Our spirit man, 100%, completely and totally believes God and every word that God says, unequivocally. No argument. Our spirit man believes. Our spirit man can soar and has the, you know, it has the ability. It's not limited. Limitations are up here and they're on the inside of us. And I love something that I heard Bill Winston say many years ago. He said, the boundary of your life is not outside you, it's inside. We won't go any further than what we can see. And I've always remembered that and always stuck with that. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. What do we see? What are you and I imagining? Do you know every one of us has an image of ourselves? I thought about this. I thought, what's my image of myself? Every one of us sees ourselves a certain way. And perhaps for many, it's a far cry short of how the Lord, the image the Lord has called us up into. And sometimes that can be for various reasons. It can be things that people, you know, some people might see themselves and maybe even not even recognizing it, but see themselves, oh no, I'm timid, I'm too shy. Or I'm dumb. I'm not very smart. Or I'm not this, or I'm not that. I can't do that. I'm not very talented. All of these pictures and images that create something on the inside of us, those boundaries, as I said, as Bill Winston said, those boundaries, they're not on the outside, they're on the inside. God is not limited. Our spirit can soar like an eagle, but the mind is sometimes that old mind, it can be like, you know, like a chain on the end of the eagle's leg going, nope. Your spirit tries to soar. No, you can't do that. Nope. If you do that, this will happen. That reason and the logic gets in. Spirit goes to soar. It believes God 100%. Totally believes God. Has no problem believing God. Not just what God has said in his word, but the day-to-day things that your spirit and the Holy Spirit says to us about things that we can do, things he wants us to do. And that the mind gets in the way and says, if you do that, this will happen. Or no, you can't do that. Or did God say? Genesis 11. Now, this is the Tower of Babel. But so I saw something in this when I was revisiting this whole topic, which I hadn't ever seen before. So I wanted to bring it out. It's Genesis chapter 11 and verse 3. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, this people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Now that is an amazing passage. Verse 5, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded or had built, but they hadn't. They hadn't yet built it. Look in verse 4. They'd been talking about it. Let us build. They'd been creating, you know, getting the bricks and the mortar. but it hadn't been completed yet. But to the Lord, what they had imagined to do, what they had focused in on with their imagination and spoke on over and over and over again, picturing it, they would have slept and dreamt it. They woke and talked about it. They talked about it and they talked about it. They pictured it, they pictured it. They had plans, and the Lord came down and said, which the children of men had builded, because in the mind of the Lord it was already done, because it was a thing imagined. And look at verse 6 where he says, nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. This is the other thing that I thought about. This is man imagining, man with man imagining the same thing and saying the same thing. How powerful was that? How much more powerful is this? Man with God imagining what the same thing God imagines and saying the same thing God says. How much more powerful is that? Imagining. God is, make no mistake, God sees everything, imagines everything. And we're going to look at some scriptures. Everything, before he says it, he's first seen it. You and I are just like him. We are created just like him. Like I said before, no other creation on this planet has this ability. It is a God-given gift, and it's powerful. That's why it needs powerful weapons to cast down those imaginations that are outside of God. Man thinking and imagining what God imagines. Now, in 1 Chronicles, just turn to 1 Chronicles. David and Solomon, when Solomon built the temple in the Old Testament, David imagined it. And then he passed it on to his son, and his son imagined it. Like I said, nothing, no endeavor that anyone has ever endeavored. Pastor Dwight, I'm pretty sure that before you started your building business, in the very, very beginning, you and Pastor Geraldine, you would have talked about it. You would have imagined it. You would have pictured it. You would have spoken about it before you did it. No one just wakes up one morning and goes and climbs Mount Everest. 1 Chronicles 22, look at verse 6. Then he called for his son. This is talking about David. Then he called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. Look at verse 7. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind, it was in my imagination to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, you have shed much blood, etc., etc. So what happened here is David had imagined to do this for God. He had pictured it. He had probably had this, meditated on this time and time and time again, seeing things in his mind. But the Lord spoke and said, no, David, you won't, because of you've shed much blood. Now, here's the thing. The imagination has to be submitted to the word of the Lord. It has to be submitted to God. Otherwise, it's left unchecked, and like the Bible. In fact, you know, most of the references in the Bible, Old and New Testament, to the imagination is all in the negative. Most of them, you know, talked about people's hearts being darkened or their minds being darkened, talking about the imagination. But look in 1 Chronicles, turn to chapter 28, verse 9. See, our imagination's not darkened. We read before about the eyes of our understanding. Remember that word dianoia? The deep thought, the imagination is enlightened because we have the word of God. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And when the human imagination is imagining what the picture the Holy Spirit is showing them, and we focus in on that, and that's how faith develops. First Chronicles 28, verse 9, "And you, Solomon, my son," so David talking to Solomon, "know the God of your father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the" what? "Imaginations of the thoughts." Then David, and I love this, "then David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch." These are the things David had seen in his mind, the things the Lord had spoken to David and shown David in the spirit. He gave to Solomon the pattern of the porch. Remember that word pattern, of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers and of the inner parlors and the place of the mercy seat. David had seen it. He had pictured it. He had imagined these things, working with the Spirit of God. Verse 12, "and the" what? "Pattern of all that he had by the Spirit." All these things that David had imagined came by the Spirit. "Of the courts of the house of the Lord and of all the chambers round about, of the treasuries of the house of God and the treasuries of the dedicated things." Just like me and Joel building our house, I first imagined it. I saw it. The image of Jesus painted in the Old Testament. Think about this. And we're talking about how God, this is how God operates. All through the Old Testament, God has, there are pictures of the Messiah, pictures of Jesus, pictures of the Christ, of his birth, of his coming, of his dying, of his death, of his resurrection, of his ruling. All throughout, pictures in the Old Testament, images of him. And then all of a sudden, boom, there he was. But only because the Father had first imagined it. And he had given the picture to men, hidden in the scriptures. I want to give you the Bible definition. If you just look up, you know, English definition of imagination, it's seeing with the heart or with the mind something that you don't yet see with your physical eyes. And I want to give you now the biblical definition of imagination. There's a Hebrew word in the Old Testament that's used for imagination. It's yetzer, and this is what it means. Remember we talked about David, he saw the pattern, he saw the frame. And this is what this word means. It's the formation, the frame. I've taken this literally out of the Strong's. So this is imagination, the biblical definition of imagination. The formation, the frame, the pattern, the image, the conception, the thought. The primary meaning is the form of something. It is, we could say that the imagination is like the spiritual womb, conception. It's a place where things are conceived. In Isaiah, don't turn there, just let me, Isaiah 26:3, we know this, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you." That word mind, what do you think that is? Yetzer. If I'm believing for healing, and I'm using that because it's something we can all relate to. If I'm believing for healing in my body, healing in my mind, increase of my finances, restoration in my family, in my marriage, with my children, whatever it might be, it's kind of like saying, "By his stripes I'm healed," and then picturing my funeral. It just doesn't work. Faith can't germinate in that. But when I say, "By his stripes I was healed," and I see myself healed, and I see myself healed, and I see myself healed, and I speak, and I speak. Have you ever, maybe let's say you're planning to go on a holiday, you imagine that before you go, don't you? You imagine lying on the beach, you imagine climbing the mountain, you imagine, you know, sitting in the spa. Every one of you, there's not one of you that has ever ever organized a holiday? Mel, when you've just come back from overseas, did you imagine that trip before you went on it? Imagine being on that cruise. Yes, of course she did. Of course she did. That's the way we are created. Jeremiah 51. I said to you before that God, everything God does before he speaks, he's first seen it. He's first imagined it. And I just wanted to show you a scripture here. But I've already given you one where it says that, you know, he speaks the end from the beginning. That's because he's seen the end before the end is physically manifest. Here's one other scripture, and there are others. Jeremiah 51:12. Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes, for the Lord has both. Now, some of your Bibles will say devised. Is that right? Yeah. But that word devised is actually the Hebrew word zaman. It also means imagination. It's the same, exact same word that's used in Genesis 11:6, the Tower of Babel. Exact same word that we talked about. So, for the Lord has both imagined and done that which he spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon. The Lord first imagined what he was going to do to Babylon, then he spoke it, and then he did it. The Lord imagined it, then he spoke it, then it happened. Look at we won't turn there, but look at Genesis at creation. Do you think for 1 minute that God, when he said, let there be, do you think he did that? He just said, let there be something, the fruit-bearing trees and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. Do you think he just said that and had never seen the birds of the air? Of course not. Of course not. John 1, let's go to the New Testament. John 1, verse 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. That there that we're talking about here in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and in verse 3, without that Word nothing was created, nothing was made. That's the word logos. It embodies conception. If you look it up, it embodies the thought, the imagination, and it'll say the word conception in the Strong's Concordance. And what that word conception, it again, as I said before, conceiving something, where something, it's that spiritual womb where something is conceived. Hebrews 11, verse 3, just let me read this to you. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed. Remember that word pattern and that yetzer, the Hebrew word for imagination, the frame, the pattern, the formation. Framed, the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were made by things not seen. How is something that's seen made by something that's not seen? Because God first imagined it. God first saw it before he saw it. 1 Timothy 4, verse 15, and I love this. I was thinking about this passage in chapter 4, verse 15. Timothy was a young man called to pastor, and Timothy would have had thoughts, feelings. I wonder how Timothy pictured himself. Did he picture himself as being, I'm a young man, they're not going to listen to me, they're not going to take me seriously, I don't know if I can do this, I'm not, you know, I don't know if I'm up for this. All of those things, I wonder whether they went through Timothy's mind. But look in 1 Timothy 4, verse 15. Starting at verse 11. These things command and teach. Now, this is the Apostle Paul, who was a spiritual father to Timothy, speaking these things to Timothy. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in the word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands. of the eldership. Now look at verse 15. And when I read this again, boy, did this jump out. What does it say? Meditate on these things. That word meditate in the Greek means imagine. Let them revolve around in your mind. Rehearse them in your mind, in your thinking. It's the exact same word in Acts 4:25 where it says, why did the heathen rage and imagine vain things? Here's Timothy, Paul saying to Timothy, all of these things, Timothy, the gift that's in you through the laying on of hands, all of these things that you are called to do, imagine yourself being that person. Imagine yourself speaking the word. Imagine yourself exhorting the people. See yourself doing these things that God has called you to. Proverbs 4 verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. That's interesting. If we get time, we'll talk about that later. But do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That word heart is the mind, thinking, reflection. For they are life to those who find them, health to all their flesh. Keep your heart, that place where the thoughts and imaginations come from, with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. That word issues is boundaries. Remember what Bill Winston said, that the boundaries are not outside, they're in here. Something that I loved, turn with me to Genesis 24, and we'll finish up on this. This is a story about Abraham's servant that goes out, is sent out to find a wife for Abraham's son, for Isaac. So let's take up at verse 58. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, will you go with this man? Will you go with Abraham's servant? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, you are our sister. Be you the mother of thousands, of millions, and let your seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Let's just stop right there for a moment. Just for a moment. Let your seed possess the gate. What did God do for Abraham, the father of a multitude? What did he do for him? He painted a picture. He showed, remember he took Abraham out of the tent and he said, look up at that picture up there, the sky and all the stars. And then he said, and look down at the sand and all the grains of sand. And then he said to him, you are the father of a multitude. Was he at that time? No, he wasn't. But God gave Abraham a picture. As I said, we think in pictures, we don't think in words. But words change the picture. Words change the picture. Words change the picture. If you are reading a book, a novel, you picture as you're reading, you picture the people, you picture what they're wearing, you picture their faces, you picture where they are. Are they in a park? Are they sitting by a river? Are they in a house? It's like a movie going on in your head as you are reading a book. You are picturing it happening. And God did that for Abraham because Abraham needed to see an image that he could keep before him of what God had said to him by night and by day. Every time Abraham looked up and saw the stars, what was he reminded of? What God had said. Every time in the day that he stepped out, when he first woke up in the morning and he stepped out of his tent onto the sand, what did he remember? You are a father of a multitude. Every time you and I read the word, imagine yourself in it. Imagine that word at work in your life. Imagine yourself overcoming that situation because he said you are overcomers. imagine it, use your imagination. But look down here, verse 60. So they blessed Rebekah. They said, you'll be the mother of thousands, of millions, and let your seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Verse 62, and Isaac, so just picture this. So here's Isaac waiting for his wife. He knows that Abraham's servant has gone off. He's not yet seen Rebekah. He doesn't know who the servant's going to bring back. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahori, or some of your Bibles will say Beer Lahori, for he dwelt in the south country. Now that word there for the well of Beer Lahori, it means the well of living vision. So Isaac had come from the place, from the well of living vision. But look at verse 63, and Isaac went out to what? Meditate. That word meditate, it means to imagine, to muse, to roll over in the mind. So he's come from the well of living vision, and he's now gone out to meditate, to imagine, to think, to ponder, to muse in the field toward evening. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw and he beheld the camels were coming. So before Isaac, and we'll leave it there, there's more, but we'll leave it there. Before Isaac physically laid eyes on Rebekah, he had already imagined his wife. I mean, come on, of course he was. He knew a wife was coming, didn't he? He knew a wife was coming. He hadn't physically seen her yet, but I'm pretty sure his days were spent imagining her form. Oh my, come on, come on. Hello,
Mama,
Mama Mia, Hubba Hubba. He was imagining her form. He was picturing her face, her hair. He was seeing his wife. And in you and I is this wonderful gift, this God-given ability of the imagination. And when the eyes of our imagination are full of light, enlightened, full of light, we see what the Holy Spirit is showing us in the Word, and it becomes alive to us. And the more and the more and the more we picture ourselves in it, we see ourselves doing it, we see ourselves benefiting by it, the more and more and more a desire grows. A desire grows. It's kind of like that holiday. You know, you've been planning it for weeks and months and months, and you're seeing yourself there and you are longing for it. And it gets to, you know, you're a week out and you just can't wait any longer. It's like, that's it. I've got to go. I've got to, you know, you just start to get really like, because you've already seen it. It's like that woman, you dream it. It's like that woman who's had a baby, who's pregnant. She's conceived it already. But before she conceived it, she thought about that baby. She imagined herself holding that baby. She imagined herself nursing that baby. And now she's 9 months carrying that baby, thinking about that baby, imagining that baby. And she's a week out and she just, why? Why can't she? Why? Because desire grows. Desire grows and works with the imagination. And when you've got those things working together, when you're doing, and I'm doing like God does, imagines it, desire grows, speaking it, it has to come to pass. It has to come to pass. It has to come to pass. It will. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. You're so good to us, and we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful gift that you have given us of the imagination. And, Father, we know that an imagination submitted to your word submitted to the Holy Spirit and fed by our spirit can soar into places that we, Father, that we can't go in the natural, but we can go there in our imagination. And Father, as we do that and desire grows and faith takes root, Father, those things draw closer and closer and closer until one day they are physically manifest. Lord, it's the way faith works. It's the way you work. And it's the way we work. We were designed to work this way. So, Lord, as we go about and leave here today, continue to remind us day by day to be aware of our imagination, to be aware of the things that we are focusing in on. And, Lord, as we do, teach us more. Teach us more how to hook in with our imagination to your word so that desire can be birthed, faith can take root, and manifestations happen. In the name of Jesus, amen.